Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible. Thank you. So much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you tuned in, and a very happy Thursday to you. Well, if you listen often enough, you know we've got several monthly features that we do every month because you love them. I hear from you. One of them is Bible Answers with Dr. Ron Rhodes. Another, Redemption Stories with Liz Curtis Higgs, and Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. Well, we are so blessed to have Dr. Troy in studio this time for both hours today. He's a busy guy. So for him to give us both hours, just, I'm trying to think of a present we could buy him. I still haven't figured it out just yet. Hey, I gave you a water bottle. That's something. Anyway, he is here to talk about our physical health and the connection between our physical, our emotional, our spiritual, even our chemical health. So the phone lines are open. I'm telling you, every time we have Dr. Troy on, we can't cover all the questions. So pray you'll be patient, but we will do our best. And we're going to be talking about a number of things, but I'm hoping to have a little bit of fun here. I would love for you to call in and tell me the worst thing that you eat so Dr. Troy can tell you what it does to you. And the reason I'm asking is when I filled out the paperwork to go to Dr. Troy's clinic, that was the question. It's like one of the worst things you eat. And I had to look over my shoulder to see if anybody was watching, you know. And I'm going to go first. And maybe you don't want to talk about the worst thing you eat. Maybe picture air quotes here. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe you can tell us about the worst thing your quote-unquote friend eats, all right? And Dr. Troy will talk about the impact of that food, and we're going to just have some fun with it. We'll also talk supplements. We also have a list of questions from listeners that we didn't get to last month, and we do put a priority on yours, your questions when you call in. So here's the number, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. I will go first here in just a moment and tell you the worst thing that I eat. So don't worry. We're in this together, okay? You can also email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com, Susie@myfaithradio.com. So before Dr. Troy comes on the show, I just want to give a quick announcement because this one's hugely important. We're so excited to be partnering this year with International Justice Mission, really an organization my hubby and I have been partnering with for about 8 years, I think, and they are just the world's organization to combat human trafficking and injustices among the poor. Amazing organization. So we're asking you to use your best energies for the world's greatest needs. All you need to do is make a commitment to how many miles you can log in August, and we've made it very simple. Look on our homepage there. In a couple of minutes, you can create a fundraising page. You decide how many miles you want to bike, run, or walk in August, the dollars that you want to raise, and together we're praying and hoping we can raise $50,000 to put an end to human trafficking. If you want more information, you can go to our homepage, myfaithradio.com, or the page we created just for this event. It's called Live Free Challenge, so livefreechallenge.org. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll go get him on the show. Dr. Troy Spurl is CEO and founder of Synapse, a center for health and healing. He travels extensively, conducting seminars on disease prevention and healing through faith-filled, healthy lifestyles. His mission is to impact the well-being of people around the world by providing solutions to complicated life issues and to create sanctuaries that promote the restoration and perpetuation of health, happiness, and prosperity. His company is located in Eagan, Minnesota, and I want to make sure you know we'll put a link to his company on our show page today. Dr. Troy, welcome back to the program.
Thank you very much for having me.
Always good to have you. So before we get into the worst thing that I eat, I can't wait, right? Like I said, I'm going first. I'm wondering if you have a verse that you came armed with today that you can share with us.
Yes, I'm going to read this. It's long, from Romans 14, and it speaks quite a bit to me. I'm going to speak on it in a little bit. As for the one who's weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats. for God has welcomed him. Hmm. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind.
Wow. We could spend an hour talking about that passage.
Yes. Yeah.
Say what's on your heart around that passage.
Well, number one, I don't want any judgment on when people are calling in.
Oh, perfect.
So that's a big yeah. part of it. But also, the biggest part of that really is that we're all unique. And so even when I'm sitting here talking about what's good and what's bad, it's not necessarily truth for you. And mm-hmm. so it's your personal relationship with God, and you have to be convinced in your own mind. That's what the word says, and that's what we're talking about. So we're really going to be talking about probabilities and possibilities today. And the reality is, when you get assessed or when you pull something out of your diet and you feel better, it's that conviction in your mind, because you can feel the change, that ultimately makes the biggest difference. And we all have one body, and we're very, very unique. So what is truly good for one person may not be good at all for the next. And so I hope to relay that, because I see it time and time again, and I never know what someone's going to be able to eat and not eat. They're all very, very unique.
What a profound and perfect word to start this conversation off, Dr. Troy, because we do get so judgmental. I mean, I'm gluten, dairy, and soy intolerant, so I do have a pretty clean diet, but I love a good batch of French fries once in a while. And I've had other Christians saying, how can you be a Christian and eat something like that? And I'm thinking, how can you be a Christian and be so judgmental?
Yes.
I mean, truly, we can get like that with each other, but it really has to be a conviction we own. And we're all in process, and God can communicate with us in a way we hear and understand. So if he's not talking to us about it yet, he's talking to us about something else, and that's what we're accountable for, right?
100%, yes.
Wow. Okay, here's the worst thing I eat. Because I have issues with food, I really do have a pretty clean diet, but I have a good cup of coffee, and I'm not talking a quarter cup. It's kind of those mugs that warm your hands. Cup of coffee with hazelnut non-dairy creamer every single morning. And the reason I know it's probably not good, because the list of ingredients is about a mile long, and it's really okay if you don't refrigerate it. If you accidentally leave it out, you can still use it. So I'm thinking it's probably kind of poisonous. What do you say?
Are you sure you want me to answer that question?
No judgment, really.
No, okay. There's no judgment at all. No, I really do come from a neutral place as we go through this.
Yes.
But when I look at something like that, there's a couple of factors. Number one, organic black coffee can actually be quite healthy for many, many people. So I'll throw that out there first. It is the caffeine that's in there is broken down in the liver, and generally those creamers are what we call processed. There's a lot of chemicals in there that are not innate to our body. Our body doesn't know what to do with it. And generally speaking, it's the immune system and liver's ability. They have to do something with that. So the biggest challenge really is going to be through the liver system in clearing it out of your body.
Wow.
And all it really does is it kind of backs up, or it makes a little bit more work for the liver system. And one of the things coffee can do, it can help with brain clarity, can help a lot of ways there. But if you have any type of adrenal dysfunction or stress, what happens is one of the negatives is that you can drink the coffee. It'll actually trigger your adrenal glands to release cortisol or adrenaline. And then caffeine actually blocks the ability of the liver to actually break down that adrenaline. So it can circulate a little bit more in your body. And, you know, that's great if you're in a fight or flight scenario, if you're going for a workout, or if you're being chased by a tiger, something like that. Not the best if you're trying to relax or digest food. So
Wow. It's
one of those things where there can be a little bit of a congestion issue, and it's mostly through the liver system that can get backed up. Worst case scenario generally is if it's done in excess, liver gets really problematic, but the gallbladder is what's going to get the most challenge, because the bile will start to thicken and it can congest and then have some trouble with the gallbladder itself. And that's the most popular surgery in Minnesota right now, is a gallbladder removal. So
wow.
We know what's happening.
That's amazing. And nobody's calling because I've scared you. But see, that wasn't so bad, right? 877-933-2484. And hey, don't be afraid to call with a different question if it's not fun for you to throw yourself out there. But let's speak. That was one of my questions, adrenal fatigue. I'm reading about that, not a lot, but I'm hearing about it and different people saying that they're dealing with adrenal issues. What is that, and what are some symptoms maybe?
So adrenal fatigue, as it's being talked about is very different. So in the medical world, if you tell your medical doctor, I have adrenal fatigue, they're going to think you're crazy. Because in the medical world, adrenal fatigue means you're basically going to die. Your adrenals have to be pumping out their hormones. And so what we're talking about basically is an efficiency challenge. So meaning the adrenal glands, which are your stress glands, they pump out cortisol and adrenaline and antidiuretic hormone, the hormone that helps with water removal from our body. And so we're really talking about more of an inefficiency. And there are three general stages of adrenal fatigue where it is not firing well, and then it's firing too much. You're getting too much of those hormones, and then it stops producing it as efficiently because it's running out of raw material. It's literally got no gas in the tank. And the biggest thing that we see, generally speaking, the first sign is going to be sugar or salt cravings. And then it usually goes into some type of level of fatigue. Sometimes we get restless leg or jittery muscles and are jumpy when we sleep. It eventually will cause some sleep disturbance and possibly even lead to a sleep disorder. And the real severe adrenal exhaustion, they can't get out of bed. They've got no energy.
And would you say the common denominator is just living in fight flight? I mean, is this something we do, or is it just a disorder that happens to us?
We do it. Yeah. It's our lifestyle. Mm-hmm. It's for the most part, it's go, go, go. It's a little bit excess caffeine, a little bit excess sugar. Insulin is the opposing hormone to cortisol. So if you consume a lot of sugar and you get some insulin resistance, that does impact how cortisol is responding in the body. And then stress causes a significant imbalance with that. So our diet and lifestyle stress really impacts that more than anything. Occasionally, there's an autoimmune that does it, or an actual tumor or something like that. That is one where our lifestyle may not have contributed to it 100%, but still has got a little bit of an impact on it.
Interesting. Another question. We need to take a break. When we come back, I'd love for you to speak about the issue of inflammation. That's another one a friend recently was talking about, just said she's been researching, and then she discovered turmeric?
Yes.
Am I saying that right?
Yes.
Yeah, as a supplement. She said it's radically changed the pain level that she deals with. Anyway, we'll talk about that. Talking to Dr. Troy Spurl. It's Health and Healing with Dr. Troy today. Welcome your questions and your calls. I thought it'd be so hilarious if you call in and tell me I had a burger with 5 slices of cheese, but maybe it's really okay. I can see where that would be embarrassing. I don't mind having gone first and nobody go after me. It's really okay. So call with your questions, 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH, or email Susie@myfaithradio.com. And we will be back in a moment. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is With a Promise. We're so blessed. We get to do this every single month with Dr. Troy. It's called Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. Today we're talking about impacts of certain foods on our bodies. We're talking supplements, some of these autoimmune issues. We talked a little bit about adrenal fatigue or adrenal dysfunction. We're going to talk in a moment about inflammation. That's something a friend told me that her daughter's been researching a lot lately. It's very interesting. But one of the questions I pitched and wondered if anybody would have the guts to join me in this conversation is to say what you've eaten, what's the worst thing you've eaten, so Dr. Troy can say what's wrong with it. But there's no shame and no judgment. It's just like, for me, my coffee cream, my non-dairy coffee cream, is clogging up my system. So I'm probably going to change things around that. Sarah wrote in or called in and said her family, they eat hot dogs. What do you say?
Well, again, there's a big difference in the type of hot dogs. So now they actually make organic hot dogs, which are very much actually quite a bit healthier. And they're also nitrite free. So there's a pretty big difference in the quality of hot dog. But if we're talking about the worst of the worst, then really what they're doing and eating is a lot of the leftovers on the animal parts. Yeah, it's not much fun to actually look at. There's a lot of videos online, and if you look at that, many of you probably won't have a hot dog again, but some of the there's not a lot of nutritional value to hot dogs, and some of the things that are in there, it's very processed, so there's a lot of chemicals and a lot of unclean things that really make it hard on your immune system. Nitrites have been linked to different cancers as well, so it's something that it's an important one to avoid. Excess vitamin C can help offset nitrites. They've shown, there's a couple studies that actually show that if you increase your vitamin C or have high levels of vitamin C, it can counteract some of the effects of the nitrate. So if you have to eat a hot dog, just take some vitamin C with it.
Or have an organic turkey dog or something,
right? Or an organic
turkey
dog, mm-hmm. Yes. And they do make them nitrate-free. On the packaging, you'll see a lot of that. Bacon now, too, they have a lot of nitrate-free bacon. And they have more cleaner, pure beef or just from actual parts. So all beef or pork type of hot dogs, they are cleaner. They do make them cleaner. They're just a little bit more expensive.
Wow. My boss has said before that everybody likes to eat sausage. Nobody wants to see how it's made.
That's right. 100%.
I love it. So Joy called in to say that Dr. Troy recommended milk thistle for hot flashes during menopause, and it's working for her. She's wondering how long she should continue doing that.
You can do it for 3 to 6 months and then stop it and see how the hot flashes are doing.
Oh, great. Thank you, Joy, for that great report. Okay, so we have got, Melissa says she's at work, not able to call in, but she loves it when you come on the show. She's got a question. She said, I was recently diagnosed with fibroids and cysts. I was reading that controlling weight and or birth control pills can help control them. I don't want to go on birth control, so what natural options do I have? And the worst food I eat, way to go, Melissa, I'm not alone here, is chips, bread, pasta, crackers, and anything sweet. What say you, Dr. Troy?
Okay, so yeah, there's a lot going on there. The interesting thing is, guess what helps contribute to fibroids and cysts?
Chips, and anything sweet.
That's right. You nailed it.
Woo!
So when it comes to fibroids and cysts, there's two main components to that, and that is you have to balance blood sugar and insulin, and you have to correct the estrogen dominance. So the pill does help with that, but you have to be careful with that too. So there's some good and bad when it comes to the pill. To actually take care of it naturally, you can do estrogen cleanses and mm-hmm. to try and decrease the dominance that estrogen's having. So I want to say it this way. If there's 100 of us talking health and healing and faith and we're having a really good conversation, and then all of a sudden, in this room, a big 7-foot Hell's Angel biker walks in. He's got knives and guns all over his jacket, and he's just a really intimidating-looking guy. And it grabs our attention. That one person is dominating over the room all of a sudden because we're now paying attention to him. That's what estrogen dominance is. You might be low in estrogen, but because it's that – you have that one estrogen, it might be dominating the environment around the genes. And so if you take more estrogen, that can help minimize some of the dominance issues. But if you actually start to balance the hormones a little bit and clear out the bad estrogen, if you will, then that helps your body start to regulate it. And by bad estrogen and estrogen dominance, I mean the ones you're not making, the stuff that mimics estrogen from our environment. It's basically fake estrogens that fool our system. They come from the plastics. They come from a lot of our from manufacturing facilities, and it's a lot of the chemicals that actually cause, they call them endocrine disruptors. They literally disrupt how your brain is recognizing your own hormones because it's slightly different, and that has to be cleaned out. So the more you can detoxify that, the better, and then you have to balance the blood sugar. How you do that, is really unique to the individual. Some people actually use soy, and soy can work for both those scenarios. But so many people are now sensitive or reactive to soy because they've altered the soy itself that their immune systems can't handle the soy. Soy used to be the best thing to actually address that, but now so many people are very, very reactive to it because we've changed soy. So but bringing again the hormones back into balance, there's a lot of different herbs and or dietary restrictions. 100 grams of carbs a day is probably where you want to shoot. So if you are eating chips and breads and sugars and anything sweet, if you're over 100 grams, that's going to start impacting your body's ability to detoxify properly and its insulin. And the cysts are forming because it's trying to really encapsulate some of these toxic scenarios around the ovaries. And so, and fibroids themselves, cleaning out the blood, blood impurities. A lot of women can't detoxify properly the chemicals they're being exposed to on a daily basis. And that's one of the big reasons. So eating very clean, organic is very, very important.
So I have a couple questions around this. I see that Deanna will try to get to you in just a moment. It probably will be after the break, I just got to say. Two questions. How does a person know if there's estrogen dominance going on? And two, second question, you know, I talk to so many women who are going through menopause and have been for 10, 15 years, and they're absolutely miserable, but they're so afraid to do anything to help themselves. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do 100%. So
I'd love for you to speak to both of those. We've got a hard break in about 2.5 minutes, so you take which one you want to take first.
Let's start with how do you know your estrogen dominance? A very, very good question. The two main ways to actually test for that is a saliva hormone panel. So a doctor can order this. Some doctors don't use saliva yet. But it can help tell you if you're estrogen dominant. But here's another way. If you gain weight and the weight that you gain is on your hips, on the sides of your hips, and it's the last place that you lose weight, that's a sign of estrogen dominance. And so that's generally people who have trouble with their estrogens. That's where we're seeing it. Also, there are now some genetic tests that people are doing to determine if they've got the gene for the breast cancer because they're not breaking down the estrogen properly. So that genetic test can give you a little bit of an idea beyond just the dominance question.
Okay, so we've got about 1.5 minutes to this hard break. Should a woman just endure, or are there things that she can do to actually make a difference?
Oh, there's a lot that women can do to make a difference. And again, the cleaner your ability is to detoxify, the better. There are actually people on this planet, women on this planet, tribes down in the Amazon who do not have a word in their language for menopause because they do not experience hot flashes. And so when we are really clean and we are detoxifying properly, it's a natural transition for our ovaries to stop making the estrogen and our adrenal glands to start creating them. Our adrenal glands is what takes over the production of estrogen. So it's a very beautiful transition.
Wow.
Unless our adrenal glands and our liver systems are taxed. Then we start to develop hot flashes. So if our liver system and adrenals are working fine, There's no hot flashes. Many, many women do not ever get hot flashes.
Wow, absolutely amazing. Deanna, I pray that you can hang on. It's just a quick couple-minute break. We need to pause and take a break. I did mention we were going to talk inflammation, and I see other questions coming in as well. Don't you just love this? And we have Dr. Troy for both hours. Hey, and Deanna, if you can't hold on, we'll make sure to get your question to Aaron, and I'll read it to Dr. Troy on the other side. Keep the questions coming, though, 877-933-2484. Otherwise, email Susie@myfaithradio.com. Back in a moment. Hope you're having a great day. So glad you tuned in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Every single day, we're here to help encourage you in your walk of faith. And why do we discuss health issues? Well, if you listen often enough, you know this is an issue that's very near and dear to my heart. One, because I started out and worked in the fitness industry for 15 years. But second and most important, the health issues that I've had have really chased me into the arms of God in a much deeper way. And I've learned so much about the stewardship of our health. You know, we carry these treasures in these earthen vessels. so that we know the powers of God and not of us. But we do have these earthen vessels, and our choices are not without consequence. It matters what we do, and we're in a day of treating symptoms so often that we're creating more trouble and problems for ourselves rather than getting to the core issue of what's actually really going on. And I think it happens in layers. So every month we have Dr. Troy on for this month's edition, Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. We get him for both hours. Welcome your questions and calls. We're going to do everything we can to get to everybody. 877-933-2484. We've got Deanna checking in from Plymouth. Deanna, first of all, God bless you for your patience and thanks for holding.
Sure, no problem. So I have done thermal digital screening for breast cancer or any kind of disease in your body for years. And my doctor really wants me to have a mammogram now instead because she said she doesn't trust the thermal digital screening as much. So I was wondering what Dr. Troy thought about that.
Oh, boy, well, that's a loaded question. The research actually shows thermography is much, much better at early detection of disease because it picks up inflammation. Now, in the breast tissue itself, thermography will get about 5 millimeters of depth. But what it'll measure is the actual increase in arterial blood flow, and that's the first sign that there's something wrong with the cells. With cancer, it starts to create what we call neogenesis, the new vascularization. It creates new blood vessels. So I'm on the other side of that one, but I know it's a controversial subject. And if you look at the history of thermography, thermography is non-invasive, and mammograms just are. And so
I'm just saying.
Yes, I've heard that. I can't speak from experience on that one. Yes. So I am more of a fan of thermography. It definitely, if you look at the history, there was kind of a political game that got played as far as which way they went with the two, but it could have easily been more accepted and covered by insurance with a thermography. So I'm on the thermography side of it as far as that conversation myself personally.
We
actually do it at our clinic. That's one of the things we do at our clinic that I think is very important because a lot of people with estrogen dominance, you can see it in the thermography in their breast tissue. And so we see people who have soy sensitivities and or estrogen dominance, we can see it years before it becomes a problem in the actual breast tissue. And the thermography is so sensitive, it can actually pick that up before it becomes a problem. And you can see before and afters when we put people on detoxes and clean diets, you can actually see it in their breast tissue and their whole body inflammation. So I'm a huge fan of thermography.
So interesting, Deanna. Thank you so much for that. We've got Shelly checking in from Oregon, and she's got a question regarding her son. Hey, Shelly, thanks for holding.
Oh, thank you very much. I have a 29-year-old son. He was diagnosed with bipolar 2 years ago, had a serious manic episode. They have him on medication. He's always been a physically fit. He fights fires for the Forest Service seasonally. He's always been physically fit, jogging. He's gained 30 pounds. I was with his wife just yesterday, and we talked a little bit about his condition. And she had heard, and I've heard, that some foods can trigger things or relieve things. He really would like to get his weight down. But one other thing, we talked about sexual addiction and the brain. And our family struggles with sexual addiction. And just your opinions on both of those and concerning the bipolar.
Bless you, Shelley. Thank you for that.
Yes, the bipolar, it's really about identifying the highs and lows. So we want to kind of get the roller coaster ride under control, so to speak. So you don't want as many highs and quite as low lows. And the area of the brain that is involved with, it's called the basal ganglia. It sets the tone for muscles and emotions. So it's very important to actually get consistent exercise with that. But I'm going to talk a little bit about the different foods that can actually trigger that. And there's a complicated scenario here because a lot of times that area of the brain, emotional stress or trauma, even if it's just little stressors daily that accumulate, can lead to a depletion in dopamine, which that area of the brain is very dependent upon. And so dopamine becomes a very, very important aspect of decreasing the highs and lows, and so does serotonin. Intestinal inflammation can help set that up. So the two things, the two foods that trigger that the most are wheat and dairy. So wheat and gluten sensitivity can decrease your dopamine levels and cause a level of inflammation that is and can affect that area of the brain. And we see a lot of, with wheat sensitivities too, we see a lot of addiction issues. It's usually with alcohol because most alcohols are wheat. But it can cause inflammation in the digestive system, which depletes the dopamine, which causes the brain to go into a depressive state. And then if they go into what's called a fight or flight, you get the anxious state. So really it is a stress scenario where they're in fight or flight at the same time they're depressed. So you can almost take to the bank that he's got a problem with gluten and wheat. I would be very shocked if he didn't. And number two, if there's something significantly traumatic that he was a part of that has to be handled and addressed, which and I'm not picking on us guys here, but us guys generally don't talk about that stuff. We tend to kind of just stuff it down deep and it manifests this way. So if there's nothing traumatic that he was experienced himself, then it could be just a bunch of micro stressors that haven't been dealt with. If there's an emotional component to it. But if you fix the fight or flight and the digestive system, that will start to balance out the highs and the lows. I will tell you right now, definitively, bipolar is something you can get them off the medications with consistency, and there's layers there. But it is something that that he can, if the medication's working, then that's great. But if you start to pull this apart a little bit, he can get to be, you know, get himself back. Because most of the medications, people, they don't have the highs and lows, but they always come in and say to me, I don't like who I am on the medication. They don't feel life like they did. And so it may manage the one thing. Now, with the sexual addiction, that's a completely addiction just in general. Now, personally, for myself, I really believe there's a lot of spiritual components to that that really play into it. And there's not as much that I've seen from a physical perspective, but there are some emotional components as well. And I'll just say this, if everything does have a mental, chemical, and physical component and a spiritual undertone to it that sets it up. And the spiritual components is very, very important, and it's sins of your father and not just what's going on with yourself. But there are a lot of issues that that you can address. A lot of prayer for this one. So any of my patients who come in like with this, with sexual addiction issues, we work on building their amino acids, which are the building blocks for their protein, and we clean them out. And I have them pray a lot. It's one of the ones where I couldn't do it without God in my book with this one. And there's a lot going on there that has to be addressed as it comes up. So I can't give you any real specifics when it comes to the chemical component to that.
Wow. Thank you so much for that call. And you make this point. We talked a bit about it as well, the layers. I think because we want a quick fix, we'll default to treating symptoms. But if we really, really want to cooperate with our body and have a sustainable health, we have to be content with this being a process. We didn't get here overnight, right? I mean, just the stuff that you're helping me with, I just feel like it's layer upon layer upon layer. But and you have to stop and celebrate the small victories too. I just think it's so important.
You very much have to, and mm-hmm. and that's why the what I read from Romans today, I can't judge what's happening in front of me. So many times there are doctors who will blame the patient because what they're saying doesn't equal what the textbook says. And the reality is, when someone comes in and says what you just did made me a little bit worse, I don't look at that and take that on. I say that's interesting. Why is that? And when you figure out that reason, then all of a sudden you've got an answer to their unique problem. And that's how we have to approach this. Just be very honest with what's working, what's not working. And that truth will help you get through your layers and be a part of the process. And then when you get good at the process, it's not as stressful when you have good or bad days.
Wow, very good. Got a listener checking in from Iowa. Hey, Sandy, how are you today?
I am good. How about you guys?
Doing well. Thanks so much for holding. You got a question for Dr. Troy?
I do. I have been diagnosed with, and I have to spell the disease to him. It's ANTI space SYNTHEPASE. And what it is, it's an inflammation I have in my body, and it's attacking all the muscles. And basically, the doctors have told me that it's terminal and there's nothing they can do for it.
Wow.
And what they have done is they put me on really strong drugs that's killing my immune system.
Hmm.
I'm not sure what to do. My husband and I have talked. I've always been pretty much a natural food eater, but probably not good enough. And we've, you know, we're trying, I mean, I probably have nothing to lose to try to go, like, holistic. We're just not real sure what to do.
So you're saying you have antibodies against that enzyme, because that's an enzyme that you're talking about, right? So you have your own body is attacking that enzyme? Is that what they're saying?
My own body, my good cell, the bad cells are attacking the good cells in my body.
Yeah, okay. So that's autoimmune, and basically that means there's a confused immune system. So what they're trying to do is downregulate your immune system to kind of shut it down so it stops attacking it. And the good and the bad with that is that you also lose your protection when it comes to bacteria and viruses. So what you can do with that, I'm just going to talk in generalities as far as the autoimmune component. Okay. It's a very complex scenario, but you can try and suppress your immune system's control over that in a different, healthier way. But you can't, unfortunately, do that and be on the medication at the same time, because what you have to do is boost the part of the immune system that helps regulate things better so it's not as confused. So without getting too technical, there's basically a process in our body called TH1, TH2. They're called T helper cells. It's our immune cells that identify what's good and bad and then get rid of it. And then there's these cells that are called TH3 cells. TH3 cells help tell TH1, TH2 where to go. If we support your TH3 system, then that gives you a better likelihood of managing how your immune system is attacking your own body. The problem or challenge is how much damage has already been done, and will you be able to do that in time to actually not have this critical enzyme be an issue. So there's a lot more information. There's potential without knowing any more. There's potential to do it naturally. I would look into finding a functional medical doctor who knows how to work with autoimmunity to look at your labs to see what the values are, and that will tell you if it's what your chances are as far as going after it naturally, because we're really battling a clock thing here. It can be done, and we've seen it work, and we've seen it not work. So it's a very tough situation, but there are answers out there for this type of thing.
Mm. Well, Father, I just pray for Sandy right now. I ask you, God, to open the door and make the connection. Help her to find a doctor who just is wonderful, who will listen to her and care about her and have the right answers. I just pray in the name of Jesus that you would put her in the right place at the right time and get her the help she needs. And I pray, Father, there would be no more confusion in her body. I pray there would be clarity and proper communication between the systems and the cells and the nerves. And I pray, God, you'd restore every day and every moment that she's lost thus far. I know you still perform miracles, and I pray you would do this for Sandy, that you would restore her, redeem her life in every way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you very much, you guys.
Mm, bless you, dear Sandy. Yep. We need to pause here. And Mary Jo, if you're able to hang on, we have a short break. If not, I think I have a grasp of your question, but I'd love for you to get a chance to ask yourself. Talking to Dr. Troy, it's Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. We've got a number of emails coming in as well. And I know I mentioned, and I still want to do this, we have been for both hours, but I'll get it in here somewhere where we talk inflammation and we'll talk about serotonin. Those are just two really important things, I think, and affect everybody in some way or another, it seems. But don't go away. And if you've got questions, you can still bring them in. Here's the number, 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com, and we will be back in a moment.
Magnificent, we crown you Lord of all.
Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. It's our monthly edition of Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. You know, when I've had him on for an hour, I'm like, we need 2 hours. Now we've got him on for 2 hours. I'm thinking, we need 3 hours. But we are answering your questions as best as we can, because you know what? There are things you can do, ways you can steward your health to bear fruit, to get some results and to feel better. We've got a call in from Mary Jo, Prior Lake. Sorry about that, Mary Jo. Thank you for holding. You got a question for Dr. Troy?
Yeah, Susie and Dr. Troy, thanks for taking my question. I was diagnosed with breast cancer 4 years ago, and it was a low stage one cancer, and they told me that it was hormone receptive. And at the time, they had recommended that I go on a drug called tamoxifen. And after reading about all the side effects and everything, my gut just told me not to take it, so I didn't. And I'm now, 4 years later, was forced to find a different doctor. And this new doctor now is kind of pushing the issue of me going back on this tamoxifen. Again, I've prayed about it, and I'm just feeling really strongly not taking it. So I guess my question is, do you have any thoughts on the drug, if you're familiar with it? And also, if you have anything to recommend I do naturally to try and rid my body of these bad hormones?
Yeah, absolutely. So generally speaking, and I'm not going to make a comment or judge one way or the other as far as cancer treatment, as far as I'm not against the medical approach and how they're doing things or against the natural approach. But these are the two approaches. What they're talking about with the tamoxifen, there are a lot of people that do well with it, and then there are people who have side effects. When it comes to the hormone receptive, one of the things that we now know in the other side of it, the natural approach, is that you can block the conversion of the bad estrogen to the cancer-causing estrogen with a nutrient called indole-3-carbinol. I'll spell that out for you. Indole-3-carbinol. Carbinol. And that's a natural ingredient found in broccoli. So broccoli is a very good thing to be consuming if you can, if you do well with that. And taking an indole-3 supplement is also very helpful. But you still have to manage and check everything. So usually if you're stage one you've been found that, then you want to look at getting thermographies annually to make sure things are going well. And if you've had a couple years of good thermographies, then you can push it out a little bit more. But that'll still, tell you a little bit more about the inflammation. As far as actually talking about what to do, there is just a wealth of information out there, and I'm going to cite a very strange source for you. So, do you remember Suzanne Summers from Three's Company?
Mm-hmm.
Now, funny enough, she has done a very, very good job at summarizing all of the natural information that's out there and putting it into her books. So, she treated her breast cancer 100% naturally. She took a lot of slack from the medical community for doing it this way, but she is passionate about it and has actually written very good information in her books. And so we had the privilege of interviewing her at our clinic, one of our other doctors who specializes in hormones, and she has a wealth of knowledge on this subject. And she lived it, went through it, and has written many books on it. And she does a good job of summarizing what to eat and the different types of things that you can do, even when you're hormone receptive positive.
Wow. Thank you for that call, Mary Jo. One of the questions that came in, one listener wanted to know how to detox from, what can you do? Are there other things you can do to detox if you've got an estrogen dominance or if you've had overexposure, as you say, to some of these plastics and just this kind of counterfeit resource?
Yeah. So the word detox has a bunch of different meanings, really. And all we're really talking about is getting your elimination systems working better. So that is your lungs, your intestinal tract, your kidneys, and your liver. So if you just avoid the things that are hard on those areas, then that helps. So the best way, if you are a coffee drinker and you stop drinking coffee and you were drinking 6 a day, you may have a detox reaction just because the level of caffeine and coffee you're drinking was causing some type of disruption. So When it comes to detoxing the chemicals out, it's all about getting those systems working better. So adding extra fiber in a shake or in your diet some way to help cleanse the bowels is a form of detox. By eating just fruits and vegetables and small portions will actually help the liver system work better. And there's different things like milk thistle, like N-acetylcysteine that help with the liver as far as detox. We'll actually use nutritional formulas to help specifically for hormone detoxes that have herbs like milk thistle and other things that are very specific to hormones or to the liver. So there's different phases of how the liver will break things down. And so different nutrients and herbs, herbal products will actually support that area of our body. So, and little things like, I am a huge, huge fan of taking things like cilantro and fresh cilantro, throwing it on your salads or any food you're eating when you're eating really clean, because cilantro actually helps the body eliminate heavy metals. Wow. It's very, very mild, but it's still good. So if you do that in your daily routine, those fresh, tasty things like that can really, really add value.
What if you have the cilantro gene and it tastes like soap?
Yeah,
then, it's a true thing. I'm telling
you. Then you have to find a different herb to do it. But oregano can do the same thing, and not the same types of heavy metals, but oregano oil, those still help quite a bit.
So okay, you know, you made a point about eating smaller amounts. I got to tell you, I feel so much better when I don't eat to fullness. I mean, and most times I don't, but when I do, I can tell I've bogged my system down. We've got about 3 minutes before we have to be out for the top of the hour. But talk about the benefit and the impact of eating before you feel full, and the impact of eating to fullness.
Well, if you overeat, then that congests your digestive system. And so the whole point of eating, really, or the majority of the point of eating, so we eat for pleasure a little bit, but we really are eating to provide energy for our body. And so if you overeat, then your body doesn't know what to do with that energy if you're not using it up. And it also causes more inflammation in our intestinal tract. And the reality is that the word satiation just means satisfied. So your hunger is satisfied. That takes about 20 minutes when you stop eating to actually get to the brain for you to feel it. So we need to be very conscious when we're eating. And the funny thing is there are actual studies that have taken the size of our plates. And when we use smaller bowls, cups, and plates, people lose weight. And it's simply because we choose smaller portion sizes. Because when you have just one bowl and the bowl smaller, it works. There's a mental component to that. So somewhere in the 80s, we started making these big, huge plates, and you know, our grandmother's dishes from way back. If you ever look at stuff that's from the 30s, 40s, and 50s, the cups and stuff are so tiny compared to what we have right now. And so the portion size is very, very big, but you've got to be conscious. So chewing slowly and just being conscious, you will start to feel satiated. You'll be able to feel it sooner than the 20 minutes. But if you're just not rushing, you'll actually stop eating as much. And it's so very healthy to just eat the right amount.
Well, honey, if you're listening, don't take this the wrong way. But when we first met and you were eating cereal out of a mixing bowl with a serving spoon, I was a little stressed out. He's a big guy. But seriously, whoosh, whoosh. But even if you're a big guy, it's not a bad thing to eat out of a smaller bowl,
right,
Dr. Troy?
That's exactly right.
Did you hear that? I'm just saying. Maybe I'm misusing the platform for a moment here. Anyway, talking to Dr. Troy today. Kevin needs his cereal. Aaron, you're right. And now you're his new best friend. Okay, we keep the calls coming in. When we come back, Anne from Lionel Lakes checked in and says, what does Dr. Troy think about fluoride in the water, added to toothpaste, mouthwashes applied to your teeth, at the dentist, good holistic dentist recommendation? We'll answer that and more. And again, I promise you, we're going to get to inflammation and serotonin. In fact, I think we'll tackle those at the top of the show so we can keep our promise, and some excellent questions that have come in through email as well. Don't go away. We've got a few-minute break, and when we come back, more with Dr. Troy.